Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
A, that young man is adorable. B, although he sounds young, the terminology he uses, and I don't know anything about golf, sounds very advanced for his age. Couldn't get it onto the green. It just wasn't happening for me this year.
I love it so much. Fleetwood's kid.
Good Tuesday afternoon. As chairman of the board, I would like to put a motion on the floor because you were at the Masters last week. In fact, a week ago today, you were hanging out with Rory McIlroy.
So nice.
We did not
she
do...
She was trying the hardest.
I was trying my hardest.
Trying to get it on the green.
She's not going
to
reach it this year. Trying my hardest.
So I am going to propose that we do Terrible Joke Tuesday today. It's been more than 3 weeks.
I second that.
Second? Do I have a third?
You do indeed, sir.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Hello, Dan. Welcome back.
Why, thank you very much.
How was Florida?
Florida was really nice.
Yeah?
Always
yeah,
is.
It was all right. I mean, it's Florida. I mean, it's nothing special.
It's warm. It's got ocean.
Actually, it was cooler there than here this weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you commit any crimes, any Florida man stories for
us? I know.
No.
Florida Dan man, come on.
No. I committed no crimes.
Damn it.
Not that have been reported anyway.
Nothing crazy.
Are you good? Go ahead and just take a sip of the coffee, for God's sakes. There you go.
What is the update out of Dallas? And then I'm going to, you know, not to start the show with world news that is extremely troubling, but I have an enormous issue with some of the things I'm seeing online about it. Dan, do you have the latest? I have Twitter pulled up if you do not.
Go for it if you already have something in front of you.
You looked up the school, and this is a public, I believe, high school.
Wilmer Hutchins.
Wilmer Hutchins in Dallas. Early reports suggest that one and or two students have been shot in the leg. The initial call for response suggested that this was a mass casualty incident, mm-hmm. and they said, all hands on deck, we need fire, we need police, mm-hmm. which obviously out of the gate they have to do. You have to hope for the best and prepare for the worst. And I pray that this only ends up, only I say in facetious air quotes, being one or two students shot in the leg. The video and the aerials that I am seeing are heartbreaking, and we've seen it again and again. It is young people running for their lives. And some idiot on Twitter just wrote, two students got in a conflict, one shot in the leg. All of the students are okay. Don't let the ex-influencer of drama get you all worked up. It's over already. I don't know if that person was not hugged enough as a child. Likely does not have children.
Clearly.
But even with shots fired in a school, here is a newsflash for you. In the era that these kids have grown up in, certainly in the era anyone grew up in with children in schools after Columbine, this is a mass psychologically devastating event for those kids, sure. for the teachers, for the first responders who trained to do this because we have this uniquely idiotic problem in America. It's traumatic for all of them. I don't want to hear anyone downplaying this, quote, because only one kid got shot in the leg. It's disgusting that anyone would.
I'm seeing some more specific details coming out from a number of different reporters on Twitter. A 17-year-old, allegedly, shot in the leg. They heard 3 to 6 shots. The shooter is at large. They don't know if he's still on school grounds or not, or she. They said 19 police units responded. According to the police scanner, it was a level 2 mass casualty event, according to reports.
Which means what?
That's doesn't just mean the level like. Of response. So how many units are going to be responding? EMS, fire crews, police.
Okay. Because it is a high school and there's a lot of people, you want to pre-position and launch the emergency response that may be needed. So you don't want to just show up with one ambulance and a fire truck and go, oh, hey, we need everybody else.
I get that.
Yeah.
And
it's like when you call alarms for a fire because of a high rise, it may not be the severity of the fire. It's the fact that it's in a high rise.
Yeah, and we were listening to Jamie and Grayson out in the newsroom when this news first broke, and we hear the term mass casualty. And, of course, your brain goes to the darkest place it can, right? And you're thinking, oh, God, oh, God. And then when you hear that one student, maybe two, were shot in the leg, I'm not going to say we take comfort in that, but it beats the alternative. But to whoever these people are, you know, simmer down, move on, blah, blah, blah. It's still a gun in a high school. We have, you know, and I don't know how you fix this problem in America. I don't know if it can be fixed. Maybe this is the new normal that we've talked about for years. But a gun in a school is one gun too many, unless it's on the hip of a SRO. And, you know, if nobody died,
thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah, there is aerial footage of hundreds of students running across a field.
You know, and the panic parents that go to meet them because right. We have seen this again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
And that's all we're going to say about it until there's another update to share. But do not bring that BS that this was only one kid into this forum because I won't have it.
Today is tax day. Did you get yours in?
I believe that we did. We might have filed an extension.
Really? I've never done that.
You've never done that. Is it because you always get money back and I don't understand how that happens?
I'm single.
Well, wait a minute. Because when you file the extension, that is an extension for filing the paperwork, not an extension for the payment.
Right.
So if
love me some payment plan with the IRS.
If you don't send in the estimated payment, then you take the interest for every month that you don't pay.
Which has now hiked, by the way. In the last couple of years, did you know that? You used to be able to just float that balance because the interest was like 1% or 2%. The IRS is on to that game, and I would have to look it up, Sam, but I think they've hiked it up to, like, high credit card range.
So you owe money this year?
I have owed money every year for the last 20 years.
And FYI, if you're paying with a credit card, there's going to be a percentage fee.
Oh, sure. No, we would never pay with
a credit card.
We owe, I got the email today, I think it's $3,500. I will tell you this, that is on the very low end of what we have historically owed.
7%.
Is it 7?
7%.
All right, well, 7's still better than 20, but yeah. I think it used to be 2. So, no, I'm not paying that thing today.
Now, if you are out there,
please,
and like,
come and get me.
Wait a minute, I haven't even started.
Get in line.
They might.
Get in line.
At least file the extension, because if you don't file the extension or anything, then you owe an automatic 5% more. So like whatever your estimated payment was,
tack on
an additional 5%.
We very much have a tax planner, which is different than a preparer, and all of the necessary documents have been sent in.
A tax planner is like above a preparer.
It is.
Because that means you're in deep doo-doo.
We have uniquely... owing issues every single year.
Wow.
We just got done paying 2 years ago. My God, it's been horrible. I cannot wait in a bizarre backward way to file as a single woman. Just let me just try it once and see what happens.
Now,
and even if I just am flat, I will be thrilled.
Did you claim the kids on your initial, what is it, a W-4
it doesn't
when you
matter.
Sign up for?
Yes, it does.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
It
guys,
does.
I'm telling you,
Shonda claimed Maya this year. And so this year I'm getting, I owe the state of Kansas $50.
Yeah.
The federal government's giving me back $1,000. Now, granted, because I've got investments and stuff, H&R Block has me on the hook for $600. So I'm literally making about $300.
Okay.
All right. But if this was the year I didn't get to claim Maya.
Yeah.
Maya's worth a cool $2,000.
We bounce back and forth every single year, and our tax planner runs the numbers both ways. He runs them with the children. He runs them without the children. And I'm telling you, it does not matter.
I'm talking about withholdings from your paycheck.
Oh, yeah. I withhold all of it. It's insane that we continue to owe. And I have one of the top tax planners in town.
You and I make the same amount of money. And you owe and I get back.
But I was married.
True.
And it just slaughtered us.
The only year that I ever owed the federal government money was the brief period of time I was married to somebody.
There it is. Well, that's the universe. That's the universe telling you to stay divorced.
No problem.
I always thought that there were tax incentives to getting married.
There's a marriage penalty because you combine your incomes.
You'd be surprised, Sam. At a certain, like when I was younger, I think we got money back. Like
if you filed
years
jointly,
ago.
But you can also file joint, married
but separate.
Separately.
Dan, I'm telling you, we've run the numbers. Mm-hmm. There is no trick that we have tried, not tried. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, if you don't have enough of your taxes taken out from your paycheck, then yes, you will more than likely.
The whole thing makes me so mad. And I was talking to a finance guy about this morning, and I said what you always say, Scott, that if we had to line up at the end of every pay period and hand over the amount of money that we see that we already have, like we have already paid in a gigantic normal American person's salary.
So the scenario I've laid out, and it's not an original thought, is every time we get paid,
yes,
the company, the GM from downstairs comes up and hands you, let's just say $1,000.
Yep.
Okay. You walk out the front door, there's a representative from the federal government and the state government there to take their share.
Yeah,
there would be a revolution.
I'll have $360 of that, please.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'll be hard to get to the revolution without the roads being paved. So,
fair point. So you shared that this morning?
Oh yeah,
it's true. It is true.
But it is what it is.
Because you don't see it being physically taken out of your paycheck.
One of the funniest things my dad has ever said, and this is not political, but it is. Is that every year there would be one party in the White House, he would just scream about taxes. He would just scream about taxes. And then in another cycle, there would be someone else in the White House with whom he agreed. And the taxes remained just as high. I always owed. And I said to my dad, like, how's that working out for you, buddy? Because I think I owed $9,000 a couple years ago.
Oh, my God.
And his reply was, and I quote, well, we should all just be glad that we're doing so well.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
913.
That's how far gone we are in this country.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. All right. Story here from the New York Post. This Atlanta Braves reporter did not strike out asking for a fan's number, but his peers are calling foul.
Oh.
A FanDuel Sports Network segment showing reporter Wiley Ballard asking for a female fan's digits during Atlanta's 8-4 win over the Blue Jays.
What?
Has come under fire for highlighting what the New York Post calls a double standard in journalism.
We're having a lot of fun up here up the Corona rooftop. Who do we got here? What's your name?
My name's Lauren.
Lawrence, all right.
And I'm Kayla.
Kayla, and you guys hang out at the rooftop lounge often?
Once a year I come out to visit.
Okay, well, we timed it pretty well. All right, good. How are you guys feeling about rooting for the Braves today?
Oof, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best.
What about you? Are you a Braves fan now?
Not quite.
Not quite. All right, I'm gonna go to work up here, guys. Good luck the rest of the way.
Okay, Wiley. You got four innings to get the numbers.
Come on.
Get us some more Braves fans.
All right, so they want me to get your number.
They want you to get my number.
I'm dead serious. They're saying in my ear right now, she didn't believe me because she thinks you guys are not I'm making this up. Even if you guys weren't, I might use that in the future. That's actually a pretty good move.
This is unbelievable.
So the best part of this right now is that Wiley could totally be faking it. This might be the new move. Okay. Just walk around with a FanDuel microphone and an earpiece and convince fans that they're actually on TV.
I should have thought of this years ago.
I am speechless.
I got the number. We're good.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
by the way,
top 10 market broadcast team?
He got the number of the girl whose name he got wrong.
Do you really think it was her number?
That's just gross.
867-5309.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, that's just gross.
Let me read you this, though, and you tell me if you agree with this, because I don't. Kylan Mills of the Big Ten Network wrote on Twitter, if a woman covering a game started hitting on fans and asking for their numbers on TV, that woman would be crucified on the internet and fired.
True.
You really believe that?
True.
The sports guy said the same thing.
That a woman would be fired
yep.
for asking for a man's phone number.
Now, what he's going to say is that the broadcast team teed it up and said, oh, you got five innings to get her phone number, and he was just playing along. So do I think he'll be fired? No. I bet he gets a stern talking to and maybe suspended.
Well, you know who should be suspended is the guys up in the booth.
Oh, you got five innings to get their number. How do you know they're not married?
They're the ones that
instigated it. How do you know the women aren't there together? I mean, oh, it's just...
Now, the sports guys also had a good point on this. She is on the spot, right? She is on television. There is no way that she can say no.
There's no way she can wiggle out. Nope.
Yeah. And yeah, the broadcasters in the booth were very cringy with their comments the entire time. This might be the new play. Just walk around with a FanDuel mic and start asking for numbers.
Ben Baby, an ESPN reporter who covers the Cincinnati Bengals, called it a, quote, terrible look all the way around. It feels like there were several moments in which someone could have said, this is not a good idea.
Cut away, cut away.
Well, but you can't cut away. It's the guys up in the booth who are...
Pitching it to him.
No pun intended.
What he should have said is, no, I am a professional. Ha ha, back to you. I mean,
and I have somebody at home, and
you
I'm
could
not
have
interested.
Played it off any number of ways. The fact that they kept it going is what is so cringeworthy.
Yeah, good one, Jim. Back to you.
And then if you listen to the woman in the background, she goes, oh, they want you to get my number? They want you to get it?
Danny Surek, a reporter covering the Arizona Cardinals, asked if people were still going to be asking the question, quote, women in sports, if they're only doing this job to date athletes. Now, that's fair. As a female sports reporter, they're saying, we get asked all the time, oh, I bet you got into this field so you could date an athlete.
No, I got into the field because I like sports.
She turned that around and said, this is what we have to put up with as women. You would never ask that of a male reporter. Did you get into this job to get fans' phone numbers?
Right. Now, we've also seen the double standard the other way with women oogling over men and men oogling over women, and we see which ones get called out.
No, I mean, if I were to say so-and-so is hot, it's cringeworthy. I get it. I'm creepy old man on the radio. If Dana were to say, you know, so-and-so is that's okay.
And the text line does not hesitate to light you up for that.
No, they don't. But rightfully so. I mean, when there's a 53-year-old man on the radio saying so-and-so is hot, it comes across as gross. And I'm going to try to limit that as much as I can.
Speechless. I got the number. We're good.
Okay. That is awful. We got the number. I'm good. No, you're not. Can we switch briefly when we get back to the WNBA and what happened with one player who was suspected to be drafted? Like, everybody said she was going to be drafted.
She's 6'7".
And then she was flatly denied an invitation by any team.
Yep. She averaged 17 points, 9 rebounds.
Yep.
3 blocks per game. That's pretty good.
So why wasn't she picked in the draft? We're going to tell you when we get back. And there is controversy surrounding this, Scott, because this is over allegations, not over charges of something in her past.
And keep in mind, the WNBA, I believe, has 3 rounds of drafting, which is an extra round more than the NBA. So she was not picked in 3 rounds of drafting. She is 6'7". She can dunk. 17 points a game. 9 rebounds a game. And 3 blocks a game.
The only number making headlines today is 0. That's the number of invitations she got to come to the NBA and play.
We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. So the WNBA draft was last night. The young lady from UConn, Paige Beckers, I believe I'm pronouncing her last name correctly, was drafted number 1. She's going to Dallas. But Sedona Prince from TCU went undrafted, former TCU Horned Frog center, because she faced multiple abuse allegations. The alleged incidents came to light in reports from the Washington Post and the AP, in February, as the Horned Frogs readied themselves for the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. The 6'7" center was involved in a physical altercation with a woman that she previously dated, and both women filed police reports claiming that they were assaulted.
This happened in January of 2024. Both women, both Prince and the ex-girlfriend, filed police reports alleging assault.
Prince was also accused of sexual assault and domestic violence by another former girlfriend, which led to a petition to have her removed from the team. The player has denied all the allegations against her and said that she never abused anyone in her life, whether mentally, emotionally, or physically. Says her attorney, unfortunately, others have decided to use Sedona as a launch point for their career. By the way, Sedona is 6'7", if I haven't mentioned that, averaged 17 points a game, 9 rebounds, and 3 blocks. But no team in the WNBA draft was willing to take a chance on her. She's never been charged, never been convicted.
Here's where the double standard could be infuriating. There's several different ways to look at this. If a male basketball player was accused of assault, there were never any charges filed. There is no way any team in the NBA, in the NFL, in Major League Baseball, there is no way any of those teams would say, well, we're not going to take that guy. What they would say is he was never charged. He was never convicted. In this case, there weren't even charges.
Nope.
There weren't charges that were later dropped. There's just allegations. I'm not saying it did happen. I'm not saying it didn't. There's more than one woman that said they were in altercations with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think people will question the timing, and rightfully so. If this was so bad and so abusive, not saying it wasn't, why do you wait until right before the draft? It's been 1 year. It's been 2 years in one of the cases. Why do you wait right up until the draft to come out and say this happened to me? Use your voice at the time.
But there have been NFL prospects whose draft status has dropped. Not that they went undrafted, but I'm saying instead of being, you know, a top 10 draft pick or a top 20,
right,
they've dropped to the second or third rounds because of allegations of misconduct.
Of bad behavior.
Right.
We don't know if we want to be associated with that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sam.
Obviously, the timing is suspect. However, to Scott's point, Matt Areza, who is now a Kansas City Chief, was hit with allegations in his senior year at San Diego State University. He was set to be a first-round draft pick as a punter. That doesn't happen, but he's really good at what he does. I don't remember where he was drafted, but it certainly was not in the first round.
A first-round punter?
He was expected to be in the top of the top of that draft class, and these allegations came out right before, and they were unfounded.
Listen to this quote from her attorney. Sedona has never been charged with a crime or found guilty of any wrongdoing. Rather, she has been convicted on social media by people who have attempted to use their relationship with her to attract followers and build their influence, careers, and settle grudges. To the extent she has made any mistakes different from other young people in their early dating life, it was solely the decision to be on TikTok that led to this. Meaning the other women.
Why wouldn't you? And again, I go back to something I was saying in the previous segment. I believe the WNBA has 3 rounds of drafting. The NBA has 2. Why wouldn't you, as a team, you've got the last pick in the 3rd round. Why not take a chance? This is a 6'7 woman.
Oh, she will be signed. They just didn't want the...
She can dunk.
They didn't want the news about it, and so they didn't draft her, but she will certainly be signed. By the way, I looked it up. Areza was projected to be 7th overall pick. He was picked,
as a punter.
He was picked 217th.
And I think to your point, Dana, maybe with the NBA and even with Major League Baseball to some extent, indiscretions are sort of forgiven or looked over. With the NFL, that actually does bring you down a bit, a couple of pegs. Where there have been players, and I'm struggling
there
to think of some off the top of my head.
There have been players caught on tape assaulting women.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you know, in college, you know, they get into drugs or there are allegations of violence against women. Your draft number can be severely depleted based on your personal behavior in college when you're going into the NFL draft. Sam's, I don't remember the name, Azura or whatever.
Matt Areza.
Areza being just one example, but there are plenty of others.
Manti Te'o?
Yeah. What was the guy from Missouri who came out as being gay?
And Manti Te'o was catfished.
He was. It was. He didn't even do anything. It was what happened to him that dropped his draft.
And who was the guy at Mizzou who came, this is probably like 6-7 years ago.
I don't remember.
Came out as gay, and the argument was that dropped his draft status way down.
Now, do we think there was something nefarious here with the timing of it, or was it just they started looking into these players because they were getting close to
Sam, I don't know. I think there were,
I think were
a series of like TikToks made by one of the domestic partners.
Oh, like this person's blowing up. They're
took
about
it,
to go
yeah,
pro.
They took it to social media.
Here's
and I,
what they did to
again,
me.
Again, it doesn't mean this happened or didn't happen. In the first case, a police report was filed by each woman against one another.
Correct.
So something went down. But if I'm filing against you and you're filing against me.
Who's telling the truth?
There's no way to know. And I'm not saying she didn't do something wrong. I'm not saying that at all. I think there's a double standard.
And the lawyer sort of hints at that, does he not, in a very nuanced quote that you read not too long ago that, you know, young people in these in a romantic relationship sometimes get out of hand.
And, yeah.
I mean, it's almost like he's admitting it without admitting it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, it was Michael Sam.
Michael Sam, that's
the
right.
BMU football player.
Thank you. Who came out as gay, and I think he was a projected second-round pick, and I think he ended up going in the fourth. Let me look that up.
She could sign as a free agent. She may opt to play overseas. You know, if the WNBA has adopted a zero-tolerance policy where you cannot even have a whisper of an allegation against you— that's fine, but they have to make sure they apply it appropriately and evenly. And I would argue we would like to say the same about men's sports. I don't think that we'll ever get there.
By the way, I was wrong. Michael Sam did not go in the fourth round. He went in the seventh.
Yeah, he was originally projected to go in the third.
Okay, third, okay. And he ends up going in the seventh.
But a completely different scenario there. You know—
yeah, allegations that we don't even know if there's evidence of it being true. I mean, that's what happened with Areza.
But what I'm saying is your personal life.
Allegations of what? Was he accused of doing something wrong?
Michael Sam? No, he came out as being gay.
He came out as being gay. So I do want to like back that up, Sam, what you just said there.
Well, I was referencing the story we're talking about here.
Yes, the Michael Sam, because it sounded like those conversations bled into each other. My God, he was crucified for his private life, which
correct.
Is disgusting. Completely different scenario than what we're talking about with her.
And this was not too long ago. He was drafted in 2014.
I remember.
So 11 years ago.
We were here.
Yeah. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. To peep or not to peep?
Oh.
Love them or hate them?
Nope, the answer is no.
Those marshmallow peeps that come in blindingly bright colors and an array of flavors are inescapable around the Easter holiday. Millions are made daily in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania by Just Born Quality Confections, a family-owned candy manufacturer.
No.
That also churns out hot tamales, Mike and Ike. Peeps is just Born's most recognizable brand and one of a handful of candies that evoke strong reactions. Are you a peeper or not a peeper?
They are disgusting. I don't understand why people eat them.
2 billion are made per year.
Yeah, this week.
Roughly,
I'm not just a no, I am a certified heck no.
Oh.
Roughly 6 peeps for every man, woman, and child across the United States. So if 2 billion are made a year and the three of us are not eating 6 per year, that means other people are picking up the slack.
Well, I don't know if people are eating them because I remember we got them every single year from the Easter Bunny in our basket. And I didn't eat them.
Did you see the much more interesting to me, because Peeps is a non-starter, the much more interesting economic headline about this Easter.
I think I've got Sam.
People are not going to dye eggs anymore.
Oh, no.
Because it would be so expensive to hide the... I mean, you have like 4 or 6 grandchildren, bar the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they're dyeing instead?
So I've heard potatoes and marshmallows.
And marshmallows.
Yep. Potatoes?
Potatoes and marshmallows.
That came out last week. People are dyeing potatoes. But if you're dyeing a marshmallow, isn't that just a peep? That's what they are.
Well, yeah, but you're hiding eggs. You're not hiding peeps.
Well, am I mistaken? Because the good old Easter egg hunt was always the plastic eggs filled with candy, sometimes money, sometimes if your cousin got to it first, something else, if you know what I'm saying.
No, I don't, Sam.
What are you saying?
Dog droppings.
What?
Oh, you guys must have had nice cousins.
I never saw my cousins growing up.
My parents would hide, you know, the cheaper version, the North Topeka version, if you will, was the little plastic.
Yeah, we never hid the dyed eggs.
Tiny little plastic eggs.
Dyeing them was a fun activity, and then
you would eat them.
Eat them later, mm-hmm. Yeah. But we never hid those. We would hide the plastic eggs.
Okay, we did, and once I found one, I'm going to be honest, and I think a bird had gotten to it or something, and I opened the dyed hard-boiled egg, and the inside of it was gray.
Can I?
And it's really gross. Like, it's gross. Like,
the
to
yolk
see a
does
gray.
Turn.
Yeah, it turns yeah. very gray very quickly.
Yes, it does. Can I say something that might be a little bit unpopular?
Yeah.
All right. And yes, eggs cost more now than they did, you know.
Oh, here we go again.
No, I'm going to say it because it's true. What is a dozen eggs nowadays? $5?
Well, it depends on what store you go to.
$5.25, $5.50?
$5.
Let's say it's $5.50.
I found a store with them, $2.99. I'm not telling you where.
Let's say they're $5.50 at the store, okay?
Yeah.
I understand times are tough for some people, but I think the average American family can afford $11.
But if you could spend $3 instead of $11.
That would be better.
That would be better. Like, why would you? Then you have money left over to buy, like, milk. Oh, wait, no, you wouldn't.
But what I'm saying is it is very popular and convenient to complain about the price of eggs. And yes, they are more expensive than they deserve to be than they should be. I'm not refuting that, okay? But if you can't afford, and again, most people can, let's be honest, can afford $11. They can't? Oh, they can go to McDonald's.
Most people can. But again, I go back to, you know, how many children do you have? There's 12 eggs. Do you hide 12 or do you hide 30?
Let's say, for $11, you're hiding 24.
I think of all years, this is the year we are going to see an increase in those cheap little plastic eggs.
I agree with you.
But when you say that, Scott, you are acting like the only thing that they're spending in that 2-week pay period is $11 on eggs.
Right. It's $11 times rent and times right. your car
it
payment if you have one and time, yeah.
$1.79 times 2 to get those 24 eggs. So we're looking at just over $3. Now we're looking at $11.
Yeah. $11 for what used to cost you 5. So you're spending 6 more dollars than you otherwise would have.
I just looked up the dye kit. Can we just please have a little nostalgia here on the show? Do you remember? I thought it was Haas egg dyeing. It's actually Poss egg dyeing. It is the kit that everyone grew up with.
Oh, sure.
And it is the only time of year that everyone gets a little tiny coat hanger metal thing shaped like an octagon. Do you remember that? It came with a tiny little...
Little metal thing you dip into the cup.
And you put the little egg on the little octagon, and you would dip it ever so gingerly into the dye, which those dye tablets, by the way, look like candy.
Mm-hmm.
They came in little, you know, dime-sized dye tablets.
And if you're creative, you do a third one color.
Oh.
Then you flip it over.
Variegated? I don't know if we'll have time.
And then you dip it into another color. And then you dip it into another color after that.
Oh, we got wild.
What's funny is, Sam, if you look up like how to dye Easter, like dye Easter eggs, Easter egg dye, it is still just that one company, that P-A-A-S.
Oh, yeah.
Us.
With the little bunnies on the front. It's mm-hmm. green and pink packaging.
And mom would put them all out in little glasses.
I think they're a monopoly. That's it. There is no other company that does the thing with the little octagon-shaped hanger thing.
Well, they're only a monopoly if they block other people out.
I think they are.
Okay.
What do you dye your eggs with? Pause? No? Get out.
Is there any other?
Who do you think you are?
Get out!
I do get your point, though, Scott, about people spending money on McDonald's and going out to eat. But then we have to expect people to be fiscally responsible.
Bingo.
And I mean, we should stop right there.
Bingo.
I'm going to say, how much money does POS make on dye? Which, by the way, the egg dye, again, is a dime-sized tablet that dissolves in water. The original POS Easter egg dye was invented by William Townley, who owned a drugstore in Newark, New Jersey. He developed the dye tablet recipe in the late 1800s. This has to be a multiple bajillion-dollar company.
Probably.
Because they're it.
By the way, speaking of prices going up, Sam, a couple months ago, I was just telling Dana this off the air. I bought an avocado for 99 cents. I bought an avocado the other day for $2.50.
16 million of those kits are purchased every Easter in the United States. 16 million. Well, that's every year.
Well, but POS only makes their money in April. You're not buying that in November.
Now, if you told me you can have a company and your Super Bowl is only 1 week a year and it's little tablets shaped like a dime, I'm in.
News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.